You're listening to Jungle Janna Radio with Jungle Janna and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.
I'm going to introduce you to Earl Nelson and Andrea Nelson. They're our guests today. And it's interesting because Earl has been, I've been watching Earl play music in Texas forever. And he's also been in the Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica. I'm further south in Costa Rica on the Osa Peninsula. His wife, Andrea, and they have these amazing projects we're going to talk about today. But before we start that, Earl, is it okay if I read your bios?
Go ahead. People
about who you are and what you've been involved in. But one thing that you left out is your children's book that you're writing.
Yes,
we'll talk about that in a little bit. That's amazing. So Earl has been an entertainer, and believe me, I have seen him entertain, I don't know, 10 years or longer.
Yeah.
A long time. From performing as a kid through his 20s and 30s, he worked professionally as a singing waiter. Okay,
yes.
We're going to stop right there. What does a singing waiter do?
Singing waiter, well, you start off as a busboy at the beginning, but then you get to be a waiter, and then you would sing, you know, happy birthday, anniversary, that sort of stuff, and then you would get a little showcase for your section, and then sing, you know, and play the guitar.
Awesome. So you were a musician from early on.
Yes. Yes,
and he later spent a number of years working in Hollywood.
Yeah.
We got a guy, we're in LA Talk Radio, so what was that going on with you in Hollywood?
Well, you know, I did a lot of extra work, and then I did some side work, and nothing really like with too many lines or anything like that. But I have a pretty funny story about Rocky, if you're interested.
Okay, go ahead.
So my roommate was a masseuse in Hollywood. So they were always working with a lot of movie stars. So she said, hey, you want to go to the studio because they're filming a movie and they might need somebody to cheer in the background.
Okay.
Said, whatever. We get up there and I'm meeting the director and we're in the studio. It's kind of cool, but it's like, well, what is this movie? This looks very low budget. I don't know. And then this is the, I thought this movie was going to be the biggest bomb ever, ever. And guess who was in it?
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone.
I know.
Yo, how you doing? And that's what he said to me. And we cheered and we were in the background in a lot of the Rocky and, you know, all the other stuff. So we're yelling and acting, but I got to meet all the crew and him, and I really didn't know it would change society the way it did.
No, but it really did, didn't it?
It did. And I'm telling everybody what a piece of junk this movie's going to be. And then somebody goes, hey, Earl. I go, yeah. He goes, it's pretty good. And I saw it, and I was a little bit humbled, I guess.
Sometimes fate just comes into things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I can tell you 100 stories about my life. Like, I don't even know how that happened.
Things happen. You don't know what they are. You get older and you go, oh, that was a moment.
Well, I did that, right? So you grew up in Redondo Beach, California?
Yes, I did.
And it says that you were rarely away from the Pacific Ocean.
Always in the water, on it, in it, around it, continually. Just part of my life.
Okay, so you surfed. You were a diver?
Yes.
You're a scuba diver.
I was a scuba diver. I was a companion diver for celebrities in Marina Del Rey.
So can you tell me some names without with it being okay? Sometimes you're not supposed to. I know that.
Nah, they're John Wayne, ring a bell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that's all we need to know.
The old diamond.
That's good. Oh, you can't go down from there. Can't go up from there.
Okay.
Okay, and so you worked aboard fishing boats, traveling to the coast of Mexico to Alaska. The ocean became your lifelong influence.
Absolutely. Always had been, but it was just I got an invitation to be a cook on a commercial boat. And I had been working in restaurants, and I said, all right, let's go. So that night, I packed a duffel bag of clothes, and boom, I was on, and we headed to Mexico. And I was out there for 2.5 months, didn't touch the land at all. And then I worked a couple seasons doing that, all the way up to Alaska, catching tuna. So, man,
That's a lot. Okay, so after your children, you picked up guitar again and began seriously writing songs and performing. And I've seen you, I mean, how long have you been in Texas? Because I've seen you for years and years.
8 years in Texas.
8 years in Texas.
Yes.
And this time your purpose has changed. The music has been less about simply entertaining, more about telling the truth about life, the good, the difficult, the funny, and the things people often leave unsaid.
I'm just talking in a right, like life experience sort of thing, is you want to speak the truth and experience that you've garnered, the things that you know that are true and helpful for people. So you speak of those things, and that's been kind of the mission and a method to many of my songs now.
And I know we've got a lot of time, so the reason I'm getting everyone to know who you are is because we're gonna get down to all that and about Andrea, and then talk about the Costa Rica part of it. So I think it's really important to know who people are before you start talking about the connection with Costa Rica, because we do get some very interesting folks down there, and y'all are definitely one of them. Okay. So that sense of purpose eventually brought Earl and wife Andrea to Montezuma, Costa Rica. Right?
Yes. There's a special reason why that happened, though.
Well, I want to know the reason.
Okay. Because, well, you tell it.
Okay, Andrea.
So, yes, my beautiful husband decided to take us to Costa Rica right after COVID. It was a healing journey. So, like many, during COVID, we kind of suffered a little bit from stress and anxiety, but I actually had a traumatic injury that caused me to get into PTSD pretty bad. And I could not get myself out of it with all the tools. You'll find out later that I am.
I know about the tools. I've been there. I have it too.
And I couldn't pull myself out. So he said, we're going to Costa Rica. Costa Rica is magical and you will heal. And that was the first time we went. It was in 2021, right after the pandemic. It was actually during the time where you had to, do the swab before you could leave.
And right. It
was really stressful to get there. But once we got there, magic unfolded.
Unbelievable, isn't it? I can attest to all of that.
It was very hesitant. It's too much money. We can't afford it. I said, you're getting better. This place is a blue zone, and it's going to cure you. Forget it. And there we go. We went.
So you're an experienced yoga teacher, and I know that you're going to be doing some of that in Costa Rica soon on the Nicoya Peninsula, the only other peninsula on my side of the of Costa Rica. You're a lifelong student of the healing arts. What began as a personal journey to deepen your own yoga practice soon became a calling to the transformation of transformative power of yoga. You have over 1,000 hours with yoga. Of advanced training. I mean, you have so many accolades. I don't think there's a higher place a person can go in yoga than where you've gone.
There might be. There is an accredited yoga therapist. I'm a yoga therapist by just a 200 hour. But there are many modalities of yoga that I have not yet explored. It's a never ending journey with yoga, for sure.
So I'm gonna skip back and forth. So y'all ended up down in Costa Rica to heal. This is the beginning. Now that I see that I've read all of the information, this is the beginning of your healing. But what did you find And did you go to Montezuma then?
We did. The first time we went to Montezuma, we've gone to other places, but we always go back to Montezuma. It is home. It's our second home. We fell in love with the bohemian, simple lifestyle there.
Yes.
The Pura Vida lifestyle, right? Pura Vida is, you know, pure joy, pure love, pure health. And we just loved the communities there. These people are now our family. We go to the same house every year, Tucan Hill. Florencia Booty is our host, and she is like a sister to me. I love her, and I love her home, and she loves us. This is Cosmos, and I'm going to let him down because he's getting antsy. He's a Costa Rican rescue, by the way.
I know. We're going to hear the story about Cosmos later.
Yeah, so we've always gone back to Montezuma. We've explored up the coast. We've gone as far as Tamarindo, Nisara, Samara. And then we've also gone to Jaco and Playa Hermosa, which is where Cosmos is from.
So Sam, I know Sam's the owner of LA. So Sam, Bobby Starrs. Okay, I got to tell the story, and I'm sorry, but it's funny. The first time I went anywhere with Bobby Starr was Amy and Raylan Nelson. Sam knows well, used to be co-host on our show on LA Talk Radio. And that's Willie Nelson's daughter, niece, granddaughter. And so we went to see them play at the Continental Club in Austin. And so we're on the way there, and Bobby goes, can my daughter, my ex-wife come? I'm like, I don't care. Tell them to meet us there. So we get there, and the first time I met his ex-wife, she goes, how come the only two people I know on your Facebook are my two ex-husbands? And I'm like, well, who's the other one? She says, Carl Wells from Nosara. He was veterinarians across borders. I said, of course I know him. I had a radio station. He's been at anyway. She's one of my best friends now, by the way. She's been with me numerous times to Costa Rica. We're just one big happy family. But that I had to tell you that story about Nosara because it just made me laugh.
Yeah, what a small world, right?
I know.
Yeah. Everybody knows everybody.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So tell me about the people, how you feel about the communities that you've come in contact in Costa Rica and all your travels.
Yeah, every time we go, we meet someone new. We're still in touch with many of them. You'll meet tourists, you'll meet people from other places across the world. And then the locals, you know, like I said, they're like our friends. I mean, we go to Costa Rica, he's Arturo, and I am Blaze. We have our names because we get there, we just feel like it's family. So we'll be driving down, you know, the street in our quad, and someone will go, Arturo, hello, you know.
This is what happens to me. I'm Hannah. I'm Jungle Jana on the radio, but in Costa Rica, I'm Hannah de la Jungla. But now in my truck, it's always like they're rolling the window down, going Jungla. I'm just Jungle.
Right. It's just so comforting and nourishing. Yes.
Nobody could say Earl.
Yes.
You know, it's very difficult because it's a guttural movement.
They can't say cereal. They can't say cereal. I've tried and tried to teach him how to say cereal. It's for you. They can't do it.
Right. No. So my middle name is Arthur. So okay. I thought real quick and I went, they said, ¿Cómo te llamas? I said, Arturo.
Oh, perfect.
Arturo.
Oh, that's perfect.
Gusto. Yeah. So, yeah, we drive down the street. Everybody in Montezuma's knows us as Arturo and Blaze and Cosmos. Okay. So, yeah. So we're like a family now. It's very, very charming, very warming, and the people are amazing.
Is your plan one day to go live there permanently?
You know, I think we have the best of both worlds, Jenna. Our families.
I know. I do the same thing. I'm back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, and we have communities here, and that's kind of our next journey is to bring our communities to Montezuma. And to share the joy of Costa Rica with our friends and our families, because it's given us so much that we want to give back not only to them, but to Montezuma.
Okay. So now we're going to go back and forth to your history and everything, because there's so much to talk about that. But I want to talk about your new project. I know you're selling t-shirts to raise money for, tell me about Pacific.
Okay. Well, I'm start at the beginning, is that our host, Florencia Buti, is like really the essence. spearhead of conservation in Costa Rica. She spearheaded this plan with the beaches and the trash bags and the unity of people going and cleaning up. And I thought that was so great. And we would go to Playa Grande and see these trash bags. So I know people are doing it. People care.
Yes, they do.
There's a lack of awareness. So I decided, and when I get there, I start creating. I start doing artwork, songs, whatever it is. And I came up with something I thought was extremely special, and that's the Halloween crab. And if you look at some of the designs, it's the funny, cartoony crab. Yeah, we got it right here. It's here we go.
Yeah, you can get it.
Yeah, we would, when you would walk to Playa Grande, this is just one of the logos.
Right.
Because it's the peninsula, during low tide, all the plastic washes up.
Right. And
you have so much that comes to the peninsula because it is in the way it's...
Right, it's outside the mainland, and so it's catching there.
Yes.
There's currents and eddies and tides, and it drags it all back in there. Right. And it's such a shame because it's paradise.
I know.
This is the world pollution really getting dumped in that area. So I thought, and I talked to Florence, and I said, look, what if we take, I'll make these shirts and we can sell them and profits go to your organization that you can create an army and create an awareness. And not only that, a visitor and a tourist awareness. So when they
get there,
maybe they get a shirt and it says, hey, don't be trashy, pick it up.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's one of our catchphrases. So here's the Halloween crab with the Pura Vida, and that's the beginning. She loved it, and she's been a great coach and an ambassador for all this movement.
And I think what a lot of people may not realize that because of those peninsulas and because that coast is out there on that side, that there's these trash areas way out in the ocean that stuff will actually roll in there.
Yes.
And Jana, we have to remove this trash. We watched them last year. There's two ways. They take giant these bags that are full, right? They fill the plastic with these big bags. They load them on a boat. They take this boat across the peninsula to the main beach in Montezuma where they store it. And then they put it in these big bins and then they take it off the peninsula. Like, it's a project. And
it's a huge project.
It's not easy. They take the bags and they have a chain link of people, and one bag to the next bag to the next person to the next person. And they work so hard keeping this pristine, beautiful area of Montezuma untouched. You know, when you go to Montezuma, there's no high rises. There's no Costco's. There's no...
No.
There's not even an ATM in Montezuma.
I drive an hour to get groceries.
So it's just such an act of love for us, this passion to give back, because like I said, Montezuma's given us so much. Costa Rica's given us so much.
What I think you are for me, because, you know, I've been there a long time, and I see that there's so many, I mean, I'm saying there's so many amazing Americans and other foreigners that come there, like Janina Sean, who's on my show. She started, we had a big problem with like stray dogs. And she started this rescue. They've actually shipped them out in planes to find forever homes. She's doing such great work. So all this is like super important that there's is a place that where you can make a difference, and the people who come to stay and begin to love it so much are huge and helpful to all of that. And there's Costa Ricans doing it too, but they need our help. This is a global situation.
Right.
If you have the resources and the know-how and the expertise and the energy. So why not? You know, why not? You know, you just throw it in there. Everybody making a difference. And it's not about money. It's about saving paradise. That's how
I read that Costa Rica has reforested so much of their land. And last year they lived like 99% off of of their electricity was generated and not used. I mean, generated by, you know, waterfalls and natural resources. They didn't have to like
right.
create yep. And destroy to have that. So another thing is, I want to get into a little bit, and we got a lot of time, but I want to just move over so we can switch up a bit. Sea turtles. What's going up with sea turtles? I know what's happening to sea turtles in the Osa Peninsula. What's happened with the sea turtle situation in Nicoya? Because I know that's a huge lane, Brown. Is it Austinal? Or is that further up?
Well, Montezuma has a turtle hatchery.
Right.
ASVO. They do preserve the turtles there. They have volunteers there all the time. We've been able to experience a couple of turtle releases, which was
really they're amazing.
Beautiful. But yeah, that is also another passion project for Montezuma. You know, that's where people go there just for that experience be released and seeing yep. the area.
I mean, I think the first time I saw the little turtles being released and they're like struggling and they're getting into the ocean, I was crying.
Yeah. We actually, funny story, we were there last year. We have friends that we've met who go the same time every year. They're our Canadian friends. Rob and Anita, I'll give them a shout out. They were at the main beach early one morning and they saw a mother turtle hatching some eggs in the full, I guess it was, they were buried, but it was during the time where this particular beach is very traveled, very, very visited. It's the beginning of January.
It's the launching beach.
Launching beach.
Where all the tourists get on the boats and go out to the Turtle Island, or they go snorkeling, or they go to transport to Ahako. But there's constantly boats going there. And then you get this.
So it's not a good place for a mama to be having her babies.
Adult turtle.
Yes.
Huge. So this goes into the parking lot and starts digging a hole.
So because of territorial, she knew to come back to lay her eggs there, but she was a little far off from where. So they went to the hatchery. They came and got the eggs. They came and got the mama. They preserved the eggs and the mama left, and those hatched while we were there, and our friends, we got to witness that, which was, you know, we're blessed that we stayed there long enough.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
But it was so touching. It's just, you know, that those eggs would have been destroyed if our friends wouldn't have seen them, because that main beach is too traveled, we'll just say.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you a story I've never told before in public, and I hope I don't get in trouble for it. But so it's about Turtle Island. So I was over in Playa de Coco and I wanted to dive Turtle Island and they wanted to know how many dives I had and I didn't have enough. So I drove to, further on down. I'm not going to tell you where. And I found a dive master and I'm like, I have plenty of dives. And I didn't tell him how many. And he said, okay. And I went to Turtle Island. There was a doctor and his wife, a doctor and her husband, their two kids, me. We go to Turtle Island to scuba dive and I'm down. And then I don't use much air. Women don't use as much air as anyway. I still had air left, even after a few after the dives I had. And everybody else had to leave, the doctor, her husband, and the kids. They had to go up and they left a dive master with me. And we're down on Turtle Island at the bottom of it. And he sticks his flashlight and taps on a rock to make this moray eel, like, so I could see it better. And it bit him in the hand and blood's going everywhere. And he's trying to drop his weight belt. And so I'm like, no, no, no. And so I put his hand, I wrapped his hand. I went up, I did the whole thing, you know, like the fin above the water. I took it off and did it. And then we get in the boat and I've always, because I was not a new diver then, I always had everything you can imagine in my backpack, in my dry pack, painkillers, bed, like anything you can wrap and cure. Anyway, so the doctor looks at me and she goes, I can't believe you like gave him medical care. And I'm like, he got bit by a moray eel. She goes, you could get sued for the states. I said, nobody's getting sued here and he's going to live and he's not going to bleed out. Anyway, before I got to the beach there, when we got the boat, I'm getting a phone call from my dive master. He's like, what were you doing at Tortuga Beach? I said, I saved somebody. I want my rescue diving certificate now. And he says, well, you're going to enter my course. And then because of that, he put me on my rescue diving with 18 firefighters. All men, all 30 years old. I'm like 45. I was worn out. They didn't give me any sleep. But yeah. That happened. So every time I hear Isla de Tortuga, I'm thinking about, oh my gosh. But I had to save the guy.
That's amazing.
Above water, it makes no difference.
So yeah, they put me right into rescue.
Of course. Yeah. You're a natural.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to let him. He's going to drop his weight belt and go up. You know what that means? The bends.
Oh, God.
Yes, exactly. I was thinking scary. About that.
Yeah.
How deep were you?
80 feet.
80 feet, yeah. You can't, zip up to the top.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do it.
It's very quiet underwater down there.
Don't you love it? Do you dive much? You don't like diving?
I hated it.
You hated it.
That I would be on the water surfing, always around it. But when I would get down, way down there deep, and I was, with these people, and we're like, doing the rock thing, moray eels, lobsters, fish, and it was scenic, but it just, I don't know if it's claustrophobia, if you want to call it, I don't know. I just didn't, I didn't like it that much.
But, yeah, it just makes me feel like I'm escaped from the whole world up above.
True.
I love it. I've never died, but I love snorkeling, and I do. I love
snorkeling. But snorkeling's great in all of Costa Rica.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Pacific Claw.
Pacific Claw Co.
Okay.
Company, but we say
company, and I'm now all aware of it. Okay, there you go. So, what you're selling the T-shirts? The money's going to.
We launched it this week.
Okay, John. I know, because Bobby and I got it.
This is from the plan from when we got back. What?
ADI Montezuma is the organization.
Yeah.
ADI Montezuma is one of the organizations that is.
Oh, yeah, the organization. Tell me about the organization.
So they're preserving Montezuma. They upkeep the beach. They do a lot of cleanup. They do restoration. They did a restoration project just last year where they put in the main beach, they put in stones and a walkway and sitting areas. So they're always doing projects. This particular organization has their own website. We'll send the links here too for people if they want to look into
it.
Donate directly to them as well. And proceeds, part of the proceeds will go to this organization as well. We just, like we said, we're still in the midst of trying to get it all worked out, how it will all unfold. But that is one of the main organizations, ADI Montezuma, and they do restoring the beach, keeping it clean, keeping it pristine. And, because we're here and not there right now, we don't really have a lot of the wrapped up. We're going in January, so we'll get everything wrapped up when we get there.
I want to know about your yoga retreats.
Yes.
Good
you
question.
Are you going to be doing yoga retreats down there in Costa Rica?
Yes. Yeah.
I wish I could be saying down here, but right now I'm up here.
So we were there last year, and I got a very strong pull to bring people. And I thought, well, what better way to bring people than to give them an experience like yoga? This will be our eighth time going back in the few years. We've only, since 2021, it's our eighth trip. And I felt ready. I just felt called that this is the time. And I sold out. I have 16 beautiful yogis coming with us. We're staying at Ylang Ylang, which is the main hotel there. Mm-hmm. And it will be quite an adventure. I'm really excited about it because this is definitely a project of love for me to share with my friends and my family. And some people I've not met. So it'll be really a nice mix.
They need to all buy a T-shirt to help the beach cleanup.
Well, they're getting a T-shirt.
Okay.
I designed a specific T-shirt.
I bet you did.
For the tree. Yeah. So they're getting their own unique version.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and again, it just came from the whole idea of wanting to give people an opportunity to see the magic that we see there. Magical Montezuma.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you this. I mean, we bought property there in 1993, I think. And I went back, I had kids in school. We'd spend summers there, Christmases there. I was a back and forth person until 2007 or eight. Okay. I was going back. No. Yeah. 2007, eight. I was back and forth. Cause I was in that time zone in my life. And stuff was going on, but and now I'm still going back and forth, but I'm not just going, you know, summer vacations and Christmas and spring breaks. I'm pretty much there about 8 months of the year. But I have to come home to hometown Texas.
Yeah, we're looking to be more of a 50-50
yeah.
situation. We would love that.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what else do you want to tell us about?
We'll tell you about one of the magical experiences we had was finding.
Yes.
Or I should say he found us. Right? We were staying at our regular house in Montezuma, but she couldn't let us stay the full time. We always like to go about 5-6 weeks. And so the last 2 weeks, she had another tenant. So we went to Jaco, Playa Hermosa. Boat across the peninsula, and we had a lovely time there. We rode motorcycles, and we got deathly ill.
My son's most favorite place is Playa Hermosa, because he was a surfer.
Playa Hermosa is where he is from. This is the Costa Rican rescue. He, because we were deathly ill, we got Montezuma's in Jaco. We ate a bad meal or something.
We ate ceviche on the beach.
It doesn't happen often. Like I said, we've been there 8 times, and it was the only one time that we got influenced by the... And we were staying around the house. We had an Airbnb that was gated, and we had a pool. So we stayed by the house, and this dog followed me home from the pool. I was trying to manifest a dog at that same time. I was literally on my phone. We had encountered so many pets, so many dogs, so many wild stray dogs that trip that I was like, this... I would like to manifest a dog.
Tell him what he looked like when he showed up.
So this dog follows me home, but I was like, you go back to your house. It's like, shoot, go home.
He didn't have a home.
He was tethered. He had a little rope around his neck.
Oh, and he got loose to get free.
And he was full of fleas. He was filthy. He was very thin. We bathed him. We fed him. We looked around the community to see whose dog it was. Nobody claimed him, so we took him to a vet, and we named him Cosmos. One, he has a constellation of dots on his bottom that looks like. But also, the universe gave him to us. I mean, he found us. You know, we had several pets in our life, but we lost one that broke our hearts, and we just weren't ready. But when we found him.
He found us.
Well,
get
yes,
out of
he
here.
Did.
We
he found us.
We had a backpack, and we had to go to Jaco to
on a motorcycle
take him to the vet because we're going. He's going home with us. So, Mr. Cosmos, I go. He looks like the Cosmos. Andrew goes, yes, that's it. So that's his name, and we put him in the backpack. And this is what he did. He's in the backpack, and we're.
Oh no! Oh he's, gosh!
He's digging. He's digging the moto ride. And we get there, and he was like so meant to be. I guess that's the question.
It's just one more magical incident that happened there. You know, I mean, we truly feel like that was a gift. And every day we're reminded that miracles happen. You know, you just put it out there. Put it out there.
Oh, you're going to like my friend Janina. She's from Exville. Yeah, you're going to like my friend Janina. The dog rescue lady. You're going to love her.
Cosmos is a very popular dog. He loves everybody. Everybody wants to pet it.
Yeah.
So we he is the chief barking officer. And the,
and he's the mascot.
And the mascot in this new launch that we're having.
We're going to take a break here and let's do a couple. I forgot. I got so excited about talking. We're going to take a little break here and run the waterfall. Just run all those things together there, Sam.
You got it.
All three of them. And we'll be right.
black whales visit the OSA every year. Don't miss exploring the Golfo Dulce.
Yeah, so now you'll saw my waterfalls.
Yes. Hey, I looked at them before. They're
cool. I know you have. Y'all are going to come visit. Next time you're there, you have to come down and visit.
Definitely. That's on our bucket list for sure.
You have to do that. And tell me about the whales in your area now. They're coming out up north too. And so up in the north, they're off Nicoya now, I'm sure. If they're coming into the OSA, they're coming from the north and the southern hemisphere.
Yes, the whales from January and February, you'll definitely see them. Mm-hmm.
So we have a musician here. You probably know Kate Walker, Earl. She's played at the Bend.
Oh, no, I don't know who the heck she is.
No, you do know who Kate is.
Never did nothing. She never
you do. So Kate came down a couple of years ago with her business partner, and she's a psychologist, and she teaches people how to be in the state of Texas. What her goal is. Texas is probably the state that doesn't have mental health into different counties. To do that, you have to have supervisors. She trains supervisors so they can open mental health areas in the state of Texas. And she came down, and her partner came down, and her daughter, and we saw a baby whale be born. And I'm going to give a shout out now. I'm going to have some video for Joshua next week. But Josh, he called me on radio when I was on with Captain Paul Watson, Sia and Shane Barbie. A baby whale was being born off of my property in the Gulf of Dulce. And he called in on my phone. I'm like, they're going to call you back. He goes, I said, you're going to talk about it. And he gave us a play-by-play of a baby whale being born in the Gulf of Dulce, which was
That's a once in a lifetime.
Oh my gosh. I've seen it two or three times. And the first time, a guy named Mauricio Gutierrez, who was on our show, I guess last week, Mauricio stopped by my house on his way from San Jose down to the Puerto Jimenez, and I'm on that road on the OSA, and he stopped and he walked out, and I'm like, don't talk, look. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking, I have a telescope, you know, and I've got it at the little Mogos out, a little island out front. And we watched a baby whale be born. So we're kind of like mom and dad now. We always cry when a baby whale's being born. That was the first time I saw one. I didn't know what was going on. I'm calling, there's a boat circling it. There's dolphins jumping. They actually keep the predators away from the baby whale when it's being born. And so I ended up calling my friend Todd Staley, rest in peace. He did radio with me in Costa Rica for a long time. But I called him and he goes, it's a whale being born. I'm like, okay. And then about that time, Mal shows up and we see that happen. But that's an amazing thing. It's the only place in the world, humpback whales, they come from the southern hemisphere. They come from the northern hemisphere. They cohabitate for like 60 days in the Gulf of Dulce, where I am, to breed and have their babies. And then they start going back, but they'll cohabitate. So a male from the north will breed with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just an amazing experience. And I know you've seen them. What was it like the first time you saw a humpback whale?
Me, I was on a fishing boat way out there in the middle. You couldn't see land. And it was a very particular day. It was super glassy.
Yeah.
And we were working on pumps. We were changing out a pump. And so just drifting along just like that. And I don't know, Jenna, what happened. I think God said, All right, let's have a party at the surface of the ocean.
Yeah. It's here amazing.
Comes a humpback whale. I go, are you kidding? A humpback whale. What else? One of those whale sharks. You know the big whale sharks?
Yes. Oh, you got to see. That's very rare and an amazing experience to see a whale shark.
It came right up to the boat and went like
that. I know. They're very friendly and they don't bite. They can't hurt you. They plankton or whatever they eat. But when I was my friend Mike Boston, who passed away, and Mike, I'm sure Sam will remember, he brought so many wonderful people on my show during the rainforest in the 2008 to 2000, you know, whenever. And he was out with a friend of ours, Sandy Blakemore, and Sandy, she was having a cocktail in this on the boat, right? In the Gulf of Dulce. She slides off of the boat, gets on and the whale shark came in. She just kind of went up under her and kind of put her on there, and they're headed toward Panama. And they're like going, Sandy, get off, fall off. He's taking you to Panama. He's taking you to Panama.
Now, nobody's ever said that to me. Girl, get off the shark.
Get off the whale. But it's not. It doesn't bite. It's a lovely
story.
And then my friends, okay, Mel Gibson's owns a place on the Gulf of Dulce. I'm like in Mogos, which is kind of, if you look at that, the top of when you come in and then it whacks around, goes around like a shoe. I'm kind of at the middle of that top and right on the Piedras Blancas National Park side, Mel Gibson has a place. And so you can't believe the stories that come out of that.
Right. Wow.
But that's, yeah. Okay. Yeah, he has a place down there. And the rumor is, and it's just a rumor, but it came from a Josh, you know, the guy who does the whale tours, that he has supported a lot of drones and other initiatives on the OSA to verify any illegal, like, you know, killing of sharks and things that are illegal to kill, and also any illegal logging. And he's, you know, he's kind of got a little, that's what I've been told. And I'm not going to say it's true, but I've been told it about 50 times.
Well,
somebody probably knows. I'm kind of down in the jungle.
So for Montezuma, you fly into San Jose and we take a hopper
I take a hopper to Puerto Jimenez.
Perfect.
Puerto
Jimenez.
Yeah. For the first time we went, we did the ferry, right? Which was extremely long and difficult.
Yes.
So now we take the hopper and Montezuma has a brand new airport. It's in Cobano. It's only 2 years old. So
oh,
no
wow.
Tambor. I mean, you can still, I think they still do go in and out of Tambor, but Cobano, it's like a upgrade. It's almost paved.
I love Cocoa Beach. That's where I learned to dive. And so I just fly into Liberia.
Okay.
And it's just right there. That's okay. My friend just called me. My friend Lori Henderson's sister called me. They're on their way for a family vacation. They're going to Cocoa Beach. And so Lori sent her sister to call me. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's one of my favorite places because it is. There's the scuba diving is amazing, but the snorkeling, you can see my son came down. So we went on this, like, you know how you do these boat cruises and there's all the food and you have cocktails and they do some snorkeling. Well, there were some seniors on there and this person who was going to do the snorkeling, and I'm a advanced diver, like, can you, and there were seniors. Can you snorkel with the seniors? I'm like, yeah, I'll snorkel with this. I'll guide this thing. I had the best time. We got to see sea turtles, like and finally they're like, they're going to get tired. You got to bring them back. I'm like, y'all want to go back yet? We had the best time. But everywhere you go, Costa Rica's just so chill and amazing.
You know, it's a blue zone, right?
Yes, I do. Yes. You're in the blue zone. Did you see the guy that's got 109?
Let me tell you my blue zone story.
Okay.
All right. I went down there. I had bronchitis. I could not breathe. I was coughing, and I was sick and sick and sick, and it was miserable.
Months of this.
How can I help you today?
30 days. One night, I had a dream. A big blue man. Now, no features, just three times the size of me.
Like a cloud.
Yeah.
But a vision of a spirit or a man. He's in the doorway. He walks right through me, just like this. You'll be fine. Next day, boom.
Where was this?
In Montezuma.
Of course. It only happens in Costa Rica.
What I'm talking about. This, like, you can't make that up.
And I know. You can't make it up. So we've got about 5 minutes left. So tell me, how can people be involved with what's happening in Costa Rica and your projects that you're doing?
Okay.
When is your next, since you're already sold out of your yoga time this year, when are you planning doing it again? And then we'll get some ads and stuff running for you guys next week. We'll have some time to get that together so we can, so just tell us, you know, do a wrap up here about everything.
Andrea Lisa Yoga. That's my website and my Instagram.
Andrea, spell A-N-D.
A-N-D-R-E-A.
Lisa. Okay, Andrea. How do you say, in English, I'm saying Andrea because that's Spanish. You're saying Andrea.
You can say however you want.
Okay.
Italian and Andrea works. Andrea Lisa Yoga. And
okay.
There will be another retreat next year. Either it's going to be in January or July. Not sure yet. Just have to get with my group. And then Pacific Clock Co. We just opened.
Can you still hear me? Can you still hear me?
We can hear you, but you're frozen, Jana.
I don't know what happened with my face. I'm just going to stay frozen.
Okay. That's what I said. Almost... I turned 70. What happened to my face?
It's Pacific Claw Co. We just opened the Facebook page. The website is up and coming. You can follow Earl Nelson.
So this is the official launch. So to understand that, yes, we have T-shirts available, but our first T-shirts are going to be a limited version of a natural color with the logo. It's going to be signed by me. Okay, and there's 250 and you can reserve them. It's going to be a high quality shirt. But again, this is the launch. So we will have the website, which is 80% done up, where you can purchase merch if you want. Okay, and you can go and follow Pacific Claw Company on Facebook. It's up there. And it's linked to me and Andrea. And that would be Earl Nelson at Facebook. It's Earl Nelson Music.
Okay. Oh, well, tell me about your children's book right quick, because you haven't got into that.
Okay. So real quick, I wrote a book for my kids a while ago, and it was called Millie and Her Magic Blanket, which I never published, but it was very popular with everybody I showed. So then I said, well, dinosaurs are popular, so now I want to have fun with some humor. And so I've got this book going. It's called Doofusaurus, and it's a young 8-year-old dinosaur back in the dinosaur days, but he has to go to school and he has a good heart and he's learning about life kind of the hard way. But his main thing that he learns is how to be himself and to trust his gut, you know, and he doesn't fall to convention and anything like that. And there's a cast of characters like Chihuahua Rex, and there's Elvisaurus and Bragalatus. So all of these classmates that he have, and he goes to school and he has the adventures, and everything's backwards in the town where he lives in Seismic Valley, and they don't have round wheels, they have square wheels, and they celebrate volcanoes and earthquakes. They're like, yeah, it's a really good day. So they have a value system based on prehistoric time, and that's kind of what it is. So
we've run it by our granddaughter, who seems to appreciate it very much.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm glad you could still hear me.
You're frozen.
I'm frozen.
Spoiler.
Can you see my face at all? I can't even see my face.
I'll give you a spoiler about the book series, is that he inadvertently invents the wheel.
I didn't know that.
Okay, we have to close now. Thank you so much for being on the show today. Loved y'all. Earl, I'll be seeing you before I go back on the 25th.
I can't wait. And it's been a huge pleasure, John.
Now you can go and download this show. I'll send you the link where to download if you want to share it with other people that didn't. And Sam told me this goes all over the world. So you can use this as a marketing tool for everything you're trying to do on any platform that you want. And we really appreciate LA Talk Radio for making this available.
Thanks for inviting Thank
you. Okay, thank you. Love y'all.
Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm waving.
You're listening to Jungle Janna Radio with Jungle Janna and Angel Garcia, only on LA Talk Radio.